Oh, that's right. It's a continuation of the I Love Ann show. I told you we were going to do something special this morning, and whoop, whoop, we are doing something special this morning. We've got a couple of the authors that are going to be at the Regional Authors Book Fair Sunday afternoon at the Greenwood Library from 2 to 5. Now, somebody that I've known for many, many years is loves to write children's books, and I think she might even be writing a mystery book. She keeps talking about it. Karen Petit, how you doing today, Karen?
I'm great, Ann. I'm at WCRS Radio, and I couldn't be better.
No, I know. It's fun, isn't it, to be on the radio and get you out, get you going here?
Absolutely. No place better.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you very much. But you have written the Lady Louise series, and they have been wildly successful.
Thank you, Anne. We have a great reception to the Lady Louise series, which was inspired by my former standard poodle, Louise. Lady Louise is traveling the world to impart manners and kindness to children and adults.
Such an important thing right now in the world, manners and kindness. We should say kindness and manners, I think.
Exactly. I think you're right. Maybe we need to go to Washington right now.
Yeah. But unfortunately, Lady Louise isn't with us anymore.
Louise died 2 years ago this month, but she does have a stand-in, and that is another beautiful standard poodle named Lady. Lady is the ambassador now for the Lady Louise series, and just like Louise did, we travel to libraries, book events, festivals, children's events, and even the State House to share the importance of not only manners and kindness, but also literacy.
That's right. That's right. So we're going to talk some more with Karen here. In fact, we're going to have a kind of discussion. But I have a new author with us today, Alicia Coleman. She is a social worker. God bless you. God bless you for doing that.
Thank you very much.
I can't think of a much tougher job, particularly in today's world.
I know. It's hard.
It is hard.
I feel called to it. So.
Well, that is terrific. And people that are called to it, you know, if you're not called to it, I don't see how you could do it.
That's true. It's not for the faint at heart.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you see a tremendous amount of things and wonder why. But you also wrote a book called Mastering a Manipulator Through Spiritual Warfare, a relationship that empowers women in dysfunctional relationships to uncover and dismantle strongholds, generational curses, and ungodly soul ties. What an intro.
Wow.
That's terrific. Yes, I mean, that's something that sounds to me like we really need.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I would say from the young, very young, to even the older, I've seen where a lot of people have been able to benefit from the book and answer some of the questions they probably already knew the answers to, but they needed someone else to say it. So I'm that voice of reason for them.
Yeah, I think you wrote this book because why did you write this book?
Well, you know, I always tell people that for one thing, I was always the friend or the family member that they would call and say, Alicia, what do you think about this situation? I met this guy and blah, blah, blah. And it's like all the red flags are there. But for whatever reason, they want to ignore it. They're calling me because they already know that something is not right, and they need that confirmation. And sometimes they listen to their advice, and sometimes they didn't listen to their advice. So either way it go, it's in the book, and you can purchase it for $20 rather than to be on my phone for an hour.
So she wrote the book because she's going to say when you call her now, here, give me $20. I'll give you all the advice right
all
here.
All the advice. All the advice is right there. And there's some prayers.
There's some prayers.
And some affirmations if you need that as well. So,
That's great. But also I understand that you grew up in a family where your mother was in a situation.
Yeah. My parents were married for about 17 years. But throughout that marriage, marriage. There was a lot of domestic violence, a lot of toxic things going on in that relationship. And me being a little girl, I made a decision at 8 years old that I wouldn't be in that situation ever because I saw my mom go through that. Mm-hmm. And as a result, and it's a decision that no 8 year old should ever have to make or even thinking about. You should just be thinking about which doll you're going to play with today. But I was in a situation where I had to start thinking like an adult because of what was going on around me. And I do thank God that my mom was able to get out of that relationship, even though I love my father. He was a good father to me. He just wasn't a relationship type of person that, you know, he had his own demons that he was dealing with. And as a result, you know, he wasn't, you know, fit to be in a marriage. And so because I see that, and because South Carolina ranked in the top five of women who die in relationships, you know, at the hand of their spouses or, you know, significant others, I thought that it was an important book to write to empower women who are in that situation. It started off very light in my book, just maybe with, you know, maybe financial manipulation or mooching, living off of women, those type of people who, you know, and we're seeing that more and more. If you ever watch 90 Day Fiancé and stuff like that, like I do. They're trying to get a green card, you know.
But we're seeing that. Why can't they see that?
Exactly. Why can't you see? It's so obvious to us who's ongoing. Like, no, you know, this is all about money. So, but it started off kind of light, you know, dealing with those type of situations and what those, you know, those people learn how to be very charismatic. They know exactly what to say. They know how to feed into what you want to hear. And so it started off very light, and then it kind of gets a little bit darker, but there's hope in between all the pages, because I believe through Christ, that's my personal faith, that we can overcome anything. And so that's what the book is about, and that's how you really truly master a manipulator, is through the power of God and a changed mindset within yourself, believing in yourself and understanding that you deserve better and God wants better for you. And
I love it. Yes. And I think that is something that is truly, truly needed. And you're right, with South Carolina, what, in the top five? Mm-hmm. For deaths of women and abuse in this
and
state,
and sometimes number one.
This is a huge issue.
It is,
and I see why you went into social work.
Yes, because I'm very passionate about helping people from all walks of life. I've done it all, from working with people who have disabilities to children to adults. I've done it all in these probably the last 20 years. I've been in the field, and I think it's always been my nature anyway. So any way I can help people, that's...
So if you need advice, don't call Alicia. Just buy her book.
Yes.
Mastering a Manipulator. It looks like it's a pretty short read. I have not read it, but it looks like a pretty short read, an easy read.
Mm-hmm.
But now... So we know why you wrote the book, but still, to go from I want to write a book to writing a book is a huge step.
Oh, yes.
It is a huge step.
Yes.
Karen, why don't you do it? How did you get started in writing?
I've always been a writer. I went to school, studied journalism, and it was my mother who recognized that I had a talent for writing, really because of my love for reading. And she is the one who encouraged me to go to college, study journalism. I became a reporter and newspaper editor, and then went into a career in public relations. But I always wanted to write a book, but I didn't know what book I would write. I actually thought I would write a torrid romance or historical fiction or something like that. And maybe
torrid romance. Yeah, maybe that sounds like Karen here, a torrid romance.
And maybe one day I will write those books. Mm-hmm. But I was going through a divorce after an incident of domestic abuse. And a friend of mine, when I was in my woe is me phase, said, well, Karen, you're a good writer. In order to get your mind off of the things that are bothering you, why don't you write a book? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what kind of book? And my friend said, well, you like mysteries and you have a dog. And at that time, it was a dog named Ivy, who was a lab chow mix and also a rescue. And he said, why don't you write a book about your dog solving a mystery? And I thought, well, that could be intriguing. Now, how would a dog solve a mystery? And so that inspired the Shandon's Ivy League mystery series. And then that led to a book that I wrote, Upon My Heart, about surviving domestic abuse and the hope that exists afterward. And then when I got Louise, adopted Louise, another rescue. I think there's a theme going here. I've been rescued. The dogs have been rescued.
Wow.
She inspired the Lady Louise series. So writing has been part of my life, all of my life, and it's just a continuation.
No, I think that's so great. And your books, you know, you travel all over. Alicia, you're a new author. When did this book come out?
This book just came out in September.
September.
Yes.
So,
yes. Very new.
Have you sold many books?
I haven't sold as many as I would like to, but
as many as I need to.
As I need to, yes. I'm pretty happy. It's early.
Yeah.
And I'm satisfied right now. It's a lot of work. Books don't sell themselves. It's a lot of work, and even being here, that gives another opportunity connecting with her. I see it. I learned that even one connection can add to so many connections, because it's as simple as me being here, me being a part of the event that is taking place on Sunday. All started because I went to Office Max and got a poster made of me, and someone said, "Hey, there's an author's fair." And so just all these connections, the listening audience, of course.
Right.
I'm sure there's somebody who need the information that's in this book. And so every time we make one connection, it adds to another connection and just open more doors. So I'm excited about the process and how it's going to lead into even greater opportunities. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is, you do have you're not giving up your day job.
No. And and you know what? The honest thing is, people always talk about that, but I don't know if I ever will fully, you know?
Right.
Because it's so much a part of who I am. I don't know if I got rich enough, I'll probably just start a nonprofit and still kind of do this, you know,
what I do.
because it's my heart.
It's your passion.
Yeah,
your passion.
Yeah.
So that's great. So, Karen, as a seasoned professional here selling books, how do you go about selling them?
I think it's always a learning process. And just as you were saying, one thing leads to another. And I rarely turn down opportunities, because even if it's not an opportunity where I think, oh, I will sell a minimum of 50 books or something, I always find that the connections that you make, that one thing always leads to another thing. And basically, you have to get out and share your story. You have to tell your story. And you have to be unabashed in talking about what you do. And people see your passion. It's so easy to see the passion that we have for what we do and why the stories that we have written are important to us. So you go to book events, you go to library events, you knock on doors at bookstores and hope that they will carry your book locally or, you know, statewide. And you just make yourself available. You have a website, you develop social media. All of
now,
these contacts are important.
Did you self-publish this book?
I did self-publish.
You self-published. Did you self-publish?
Well, you can. There's a company called Kingdom. Kingdom Builders Publishing Company, small publishing company out of Columbia. They helped me with this process this time. So I have a workbook that I actually self-published, because I just went on like the Kindle, direct Kindle publishing. I did that because someone getting royalties all the time started to bother me. But so they do get royalties. They helped me a lot with this process. And
well, the first time, you probably do need that kind of assistance if you don't know direction to go.
Yeah. Yes. But there's something that I would, you know, that's something I probably would do differently now that I have this experience. But definitely for me, having editors, I would still have editors, because I can't edit my own thoughts.
I can help you with that.
Yes. Now, that's a hard part for me, editing my own thoughts. And because I understand the way I mean it.
Right.
Just making sure that I don't lose the audience in that. So that's I guess, a dilemma that I personally have with,
you know, that's another
kind of
side of it. Yes. Is writing a book and not being an English major, journalism
Definitely.
Major, and this type of thing. Yeah. That's another side of it.
Yes,
and it can
is.
Be kind of daunting.
It can be very, very, very daunting. And for me, just being a country girl, even though I'm a master's level social worker, but I'm so much of a relatable, just down to earth person. And I was, you know, just making sure those things that, you know, you say in real life that may not be correct.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff. So just making sure that someone is there to help me with those things, I thought was very, very important, because I realized that within, you know, of course, me doing a note as a social worker is different from writing a book. It's
Absolutely.
A whole lot different. So,
Now, Karen, since you have, how many books have you written?
Ten. And I have another that will be published in February, and then one next fall. And then in the meantime, I'm writing my adult murder mystery.
Okay, I knew it was coming.
Wow.
That's
right.
I knew it was coming. Yeah. So, how have you had any that just people said, Karen, nice try, but you didn't really make the mark on this one?
Well, I wouldn't admit to it. But the honest answer is no, I have not had that experience. I have had people say to me, well, why are you writing for children? As though writing for children is not as important as writing for adults.
Right.
But if you don't inspire children to read, then they are not going to want to read as adults, except for maybe the things that appeal to them. They may not try different genres of books. And also, reading as a child helps you discover what you like to read, and of course, is so worthwhile and beneficial in your education.
Sure.
So I do think sometimes people believe that if you're writing for children, it's not as important as if you're writing for adults. And I always say that I feel that it is a great privilege to write for children. I never imagined myself writing for children. And it was just the thought from or suggestion from a friend that led me in that direction. But it was the right direction. And I realize it now, because I loved reading and writing so much as a child, that it was what I was meant to do.
Self-fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it is.
That's cool. That is very, very cool. All right. So, telephone man must have a message here. Hot off the press. Hot off the press, folks. Selma Jackson, my sister needs this. How do you get it? Should be in the schools and churches. Are we talking about the self-help here one?
Yes.
Well, you need to tell people how they can get your book, it looks like. And she's saying it should be in the schools and the churches and in the prisons.
Oh, I definitely agree. I tell people all the time.
The prison thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of women, she says, are in prison because of manipulating men.
Yeah. Oh, that is very true.
What Jeff said was that a lot of women are in prison because of manipulating men.
Yes, they have gotten themselves in a lot of situations because of the L-O-V-E word. You know, that is very true. Women who have hidden drugs for men, who covered up crimes for men. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, women who have allowed their children to go through abuse for men, that kind of stuff. It's crazy, but I definitely agree. I think that, you know, especially if you have groups within your church with young ladies, teens, I think that it can definitely benefit them. How you can get the book. There's actually some at the alcove here in Greenwood, so if you need it, you can go to the alcove. But you can also purchase it on Barnes & Noble's, Amazon, Books A Million, every digital outlet online that you can locate. So you can find it that way online. But if you need it in person, in hand, you can also visit my website, Alicia Coleman Projects, .org. So that's another way to get to it. But the alcoves
do have the book fair on Sunday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Help me. Yes.
Yeah, on Sunday.
On Sunday.
And you'll be able to meet
by
the author.
Yes. And we could chat. about different things, because I know I love to talk and I love people, so we can definitely talk about it and talk about how you can get me to come to the church
and give a talk.
And give a talk, because I would love
to
do that.
It would be powerful.
Yes.
It would be powerful. And because of your background, coming up in an abusive family relationship and then going into social work and everything, should be fascinating. So, would you want to give somebody your telephone number so they can call you?
Oh, definitely. Yes, okay. Yes. My number is 864-323-5332.
5332. So pick up that phone, not right at this moment. Let her get off the air and give her a call, because you will find a lot of knowledge there, and $20 for this book.
Yes, and because it's live, it's full of color and all that. So color, I want it to be, you know, eye catchy inside and out.
It's a very nice book.
The publishers, because they really help bring that vision to life. And I also have a workbook, so whenever I come out, they'll get to see the workbook as well, just in case you had groups and sometime processing that. Me being a social worker, there's a safety plan in there. There's also an assessment test in there, because I'm a social worker, so that all that part, the clinical part, is there as well. So it's spiritual, clinical, and practical advice.
Wow, that's great. Yep. Maybe you need to have a show on WCRS Sunday.
Hey.
Maybe you do. Maybe that would be a good thing and help a lot of people. Yeah.
And I would love it.
And you would be great.
We will talk. All right. Sure. Well, anyway, so this is coming up on Sunday, the Regional Authors Book Fair. It's going to be a lot of authors there. I've got a small list of people that are there, but I already know of more people that are going to be there. So, Walter Allen, Fred Bassett, Christopher Clark, Ellie Emerson, Marjorie Lanell, Karen Petit, sitting across from me right here, Tony Armstrong Sample, Cherry Smith, Connie Turpak, Rebecca Timms, Lee Windham, Barbara Warner has just written a book. She was just decided to write a book, a children's book, and it's all about paying it forward and being grateful.
And what a wonderful teaching lesson for children.
It is. So it's a very, very nice little book. Now, Karen, one of the big parts about your book, though, are these awesome illustrations. And this is, you know, I think the other thing in being a children's book, it's a hardcover book.
It is.
So that's going to stand the test of time, right?
It will. And that was one of the decisions that I made when I was working on this children's book series, is that the books are designed to be read to children who are like 3 to 6 years old, but children who are 7 and 8 years old could read the books for themselves. And so that's an opportunity for a parent to sit down and read to a child and go through the book. And they're broken into very small chapters, so that you could read one chapter a night with a child, or, you know, afternoon, or over the course of a weekend. Yes, the illustrations are done by a wonderful illustrator, Maureen Brisalian. Maureen just moved to Florida from Iowa. I had the First Lady Louise book written for about 4 years, and had the vision of the type of illustrations that I wanted, but unfortunately couldn't find anybody who fit, quote, the mold of the illustrations that I had in mind. I wanted them to be whimsical and colorful and fun and vibrant, because that's the way I saw Lady Louise, the real Lady Louise, and the book Lady Louise. And I saw Maureen's illustrations and paintings on some of the Poodle Facebook sites that I am a member of.
Because
I have a poodle and love poodles. And I wrote her and said, have you ever illustrated a children's book? And if not, would you consider it? And she wrote me back, and she and her family were coming to Atlanta, so we met there and talked some more. It has become a great collaboration. We are wonderful friends. We talk almost every day, and we travel together. And I tell her it's the best online relationship I've ever had. but she is just a fabulous artist and is really well known in the poodle community and beyond the poodle community for her wonderful artworks and her paintings hang in galleries around the country and in homes and also internationally. So I feel very fortunate to have her as my illustrator.
Yeah. So, Karen, how much are your books?
My books are 20.
20?
And they are will be available for sale at the Author's Fair, also on Amazon and Barnes and Noble, and my website, louiseadventures.com, and I have a Facebook page called Lady Louise Books.
So that's pretty terrific. Now, you have written several. What was it, last Christmas you unveiled the Lady Louise Adventures at the North Pole?
Yes. That book takes Lady Louise to the North Pole. She receives an invitation from Santa. Mrs. Claus is very busy making gifts for rescued animals and also pets at shelters, and they're so busy that they need help, and he knows that Lady Louise has such a kind heart, so he invites her to come and help in the process of making those gifts. And so she goes to the North Pole and learns about all the requests that come in, because she has a very good life coming from the land of Poodaloo, where she's the first poodle in waiting to beloved queen. So she's very accustomed to having people wait on her and do things for her. But her mother, the loveliest Lady Cecile, has taught her having good manners and the importance of having good manners. So when she gets to the North Pole, she learns about, you know, the plights of pets that don't have such good lives, and she learns about the people who rescue them. And so they are very busy making the gifts, and she's learning all of these things, and then it's time to pack Santa's sleigh. All of the gifts are gone, and one last minute request comes into the big red machine that captures all of the letters.
The big red machine.
Yes. And so they're running around because everything is gone, and Lady Louise has to make a decision. What can she do to help this dog have a happy Christmas? And she chooses to give away her own belongings.
Wow.
Her jeweled collar, her special dish, all of the things that are
God,
important to her.
Oh, my God, this is too much for me to take this early in the morning.
I know. But
give away the jeweled collar?
I know.
No, Karen, the jewelry overtones here in this book are just amazing.
Well, Anne, you know I love bling.
Yeah, I know. She loves her bling. That's right.
Well, so it teaches children about the importance of giving, and that with love we give.
Yeah.
And as she watches Santa fly away, she has such a feeling of accomplishment.
Those are important lessons.
And so. I cry every time I read the ending of the book, even though I wrote the ending of the book. So I do, and I've had a lot of feedback that people say it's very touching and how meaningful it was, even as adults, to read the story and to have that rescue theme, because there's so much need for rescued pets.
Right. Well, and not only that, it opens up a whole bunch of conversation with your child about the aspects of giving and everything, which is important in today's world because we can be pretty selfish.
The world is pretty selfish, and we do have to remind ourselves, even as adults, the importance of giving, and also the importance of instilling that in children.
Right.
And the one thing about writing and giving this voice through a dog is that a dog is, although a poodle never considers themselves a dog, that there's no class, there's no socioeconomic group.
Mm-hmm. And they're non-threatening.
They're non-threatening. It's not your mama telling you to do it, or your grandmama telling you to do it, or your teacher telling you to do it. The dog is teaching. And so it becomes much more of an impact, I think. And when I go to schools, I see this. The children are so enamored with the dog.
And you actually take a lady with you now.
Just as I took Lady Louise.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I do. I take Lady, and she's very well behaved, and she has an extraordinary personality. She comes from a line of poodles from California who were trained to be service dogs to autistic children. So I knew that she would have a good temperament, and she has stepped into the role that Lady Louise had with great distinction, and sometimes I believe she, maybe the real Louise, is giving her advice.
That's cool. That's cool. Wow.
But the real Louise was much more of a diva than Lady. Lady just is so sweet. I mean, her sweetness just is overwhelming. But Louise was the diva. She knew when she went to a school that she would...
When she put the collar on, she started prancing.
Right. Yeah. I would say to her, Louise, we're going to a party today. We're going to a party with children. And she would run to where her special collars were kept.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I know. They're a trip, aren't they?
They are a trip. Dogs give such meaning to our lives.
They do.
And hopefully we can give the same meaning to them.
Absolutely. So is Lady going to be there on Sunday?
Lady will be there on Sunday.
Okay. So if you want to see Lady and look at all the books and the pictures and perhaps make a Christmas purchase, this would be an awesome time to do it. Now, what are you thinking when you go, Alicia? What do you think? You haven't done a book fair before, so what are you thinking about this?
I don't know. I'm just very optimistic. You know, I believe that, you know, once people hear about the book, it kind of sells itself in that way. I'm excited about meeting new people, new opportunities. I don't know what to think going in because it's new. And, you know, anytime you have a lot of authors and everybody selling product, you know, it's not competition, but at the same time, it's different from when you're having a platform that is created for you specifically. So I'm looking forward to networking with the authors as well. Me being a new author, I think there's tons of things I can learn. I'm learning from Miss Karen as we speak. And just her even talking about, you know, the dogs and everything like that. I'm in a household that's male dominated. I have sons, and they're not as trainable as poodles are. So,
well, I'm not as trainable. A male Bichon, and I can promise you, he's not as trainable as the poodle was. Okay.
Well, I wouldn't have a boy dog. I'm sorry. I've had them in the past. I have Gracie, my big Weimaraner, and there is no difference. There is a whole lot of difference between how you can mold a female dog. Or females in general, and males. Sorry, Jeff.
Yes. I want a cockapoo, but, you know, a dog that's cute, I can dress up. I keep getting outvoted. They want big, you know, manly dogs. Like, I had a pit bull, and I did love him once I got him, but, he passed away.
Dog.
But I need a dog for me, you know.
And you should have a dog for you. They can have their own dog when they grow up.
Yes.
It's time for you to have a dog.
Exactly. There you go. It's been voted on here.
And I'll let everybody know in my house that you said so.
That's right. And we'll have a recording of this available so you can show that this was discussed.
That's
affirmation.
Right. That's right.
You're going to master the manipulator.
Get outvoted.
Let's see. We had another call. Telephone Man is on the telephones with us this morning. Thank you very much, Telephone Man. Betty Kirkpatrick, a retired prison
counselor.
Wow. The prison definitely needs this. She should get a grant with a prison.
Yeah, she said there's grant monies for the prisons to have these programs.
I need someone to point me in the right direction.
All right.
So,
Betty,
so call me.
Call you. What's
call
your number
me.
There, Betty?
864-323-5332. And let me know who I can get in contact with and how this process works, and I will begin to work it.
Absolutely.
You had to go out to the
like Lee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the prison superintendent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Well, there you go. See? Look at already the connections right here from being on the radio this morning.
Yes.
Awesome.
Wow.
Wow.
One thing leads to another thing.
It always do. I always tell people it's a God thing.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. Once you answer yes, you know, and I always tell people, never think anything is too small. You know, never, you know, and so whatever opportunities presents itself, you just never know. It opens up a whole big world to things that you can never imagine for yourself. So I'm just on this journey. I'm like, okay, wherever it takes me. Okay, thank you.
And that's the right attitude. I mean, I was on a stage one time with a turkey and a pig, and I don't mean stuffed animals. I mean the whole thing.
Wow.
And I will just tell you that one thing always leads to another thing. So don't think that your time is wasted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you never know when you're reaching somebody maybe needs to hear what you're saying.
Exactly.
I can't tell you the letters and things that I have had from children sometimes that really get mm-hmm. to your heart about mm-hmm. how they were inspired by something that I said. And so you may be giving a presentation, but you may be saving a life.
Exactly. Exactly. You just never know.
That's true. That's true. So as we continue here with this, Karen, what do you think have been the important lessons that you've learned since you started writing books? Give us two or three. Three maybe, if max. And then we're going to take a little break and we'll come back and be back in a minute.
I think one of the biggest lessons that I have learned is the importance of listening to prospective readers. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I did when I was starting my writing was that I went to a school that allowed me to come in every week before my book was published and read a chapter, and the students would give me feedback, and I would adapt their feedback to that. And so the school that I went to, we launched 5 books into the world through that process, which I think is pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing.
Cheers to Hand Middle School for that. So it's very important to listen to what other people are saying. I think it's important in writing too that you craft your discipline and you make yourself write, or you make yourself get out into the community, and you have to be unabashed mm-hmm. in knocking on doors and making those phone calls. It's critical to what mm-hmm. it's sales. You have to do it. You can't sit back and think the books will sell themselves.
That's right.
And I think another thing too is you have to be so appreciative of whatever opportunities you have.
Definitely.
And I have definitely felt that over the years. And sometimes it's a little bit hard to talk about yourself, but you have to do that, because you're not just talking about yourself, you're talking about a product that you love. And
which should make it easy.
Mm-hmm. Which should.
Should make it easy.
But
yeah.
Sometimes you put yourself in there too. And, you know, my feeling has always been, if I could even just inspire one child to love reading, then it will all have been worth it.
That's right.
And if you can help one woman or one family, then I know you feel that it will all be
Definitely.
Worth it.
Absolutely.
Because reading for me is so important. It's at the heart of everything that we do, regardless of what careers we go into. And I think children don't realize sometimes how important reading is.
I think particularly in today's world, where there mm-hmm. is all this instant information,
yes.
you don't need to remember anything. You don't know it, just look it up.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're not using our brains as we
so
should.
Mm-hmm.
Technology is a wonderful thing. I can't imagine now writing a book if I did not have a computer where you can move paragraphs, delete whole sections, and start over. I can't imagine sitting down at a typewriter and, mm-hmm. and doing that. But I do think that we are losing young people to a lot of technology, because they're writing in code and symbols, and we're almost back to Egyptian hieroglyphics with the emojis.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good comparison. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back going to the top of the hour. If you have any questions or comments, you can pick up that phone, 864-229-7984. That's 864-229-7984. We're here with Alicia Coleman and the one and only Karen Petit. Don't you go away. The antique vintager has arrived in Greenwood. He's been in Greenwood, but he's been incognito. Now unveiled for the very first time, the antique vintager, our one and only Jeff Eller, is debuting on the national stage with his podcast. Shouldn't you be one of the first to come in and see him and see what you have with What's It Worth? Can you sell it? Do you want to sell it? And should you sell it? Only the antique vintager can tell you such things. So come and see us at 637 Durst Avenue East. Call first for your appointment. 864-229-6613. The antique vintager Jeff Eller is in the building. Oh, that's right. We're right back here, WCRS, with a very special, special morning show here this morning. We're talking to two authors that will be at the Regional Authors Book Fair on Sunday, the 24th, from 2 to 5 p.m. We're here with Alicia Coleman. She's written a very powerful book, Mastering a Manipulator. Just the title is once you want to read the book, right? Yes, just Mastering a Manipulator Through Spiritual Warfare, a relationship guide that empowers women in dysfunctional relationships. We all know them and maybe are them to uncover and dismantle strongholds, generational curses, and ungodly soul ties. So that's her book, Alicia Coleman, and the one and only Karen Petit with her Lady Louise series, and she's got a mystery book you're going to be unveiling next year.
I hope it will come out next year. That is my plan. It's a series of books, beginning with the title Dead. And the first book is Dead Between the Boxwoods. And so it's quite a departure from the children's
book. Is it a children's book, Karen?
No, it's not going to be a children's book. And it is not a torrid romance. And it's not historical fiction, although it is fiction. But yes, in my heart, I'm probably a frustrated detective. And so...
Having known you for a while, I believe that's true.
And I think in another life, I would love to study forensic science, but in this life, I'm an author and writer, so I look forward to maybe doing forensic science in another life, if I have the skills for math and science, which I didn't have in this life. But forensic science wasn't really something that was offered to women when I was growing up, and... Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, so who's your favorite? Okay, I just got to go off topic here for a second. Who's your favorite TV discoverer of murderers and things like this? What show was your favorite TV show?
Oh my gosh, let's see.
You know, which one did you, Matlock or...
Law and Order.
Law and Order.
Now that's mine.
Yeah. I love SUV. That series. Yeah. Law and Order, SUV, the original Law and Order series, and there was Law and Order, Criminal Intent.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's like a binge weekend that I need to have, I mean, I am right there with all of the Law and Order episodes. I mean, I have watched all of them. I've learned so much, and especially one that is hard for me to practice is the right to remain silent at times. Not because I've been in trouble,
right,
but because just... Sometimes you have to know when to stop talking, and right. I have to remember that in the back of my head. But sometimes you'll read cases and, you know, crime or something in the newspaper, and I'll think, did the police officer never watch Law and Order? They would have preserved that crime scene better.
I was thinking you were probably going to say, because when she started mentioning Matlock, I went back to my childhood and my parents and my grandparents watching Murder, She Wrote. And In the Heat of the Night, all those old
so
shows.
So many great, and these are all popular shows. There's something very appealing to people about the subject of crime as long as you're not involved in it.
So I
think that we're kind of shaped by the things that, you know, growing mm-hmm. up and our desires to see this. So, mm-hmm. That's cool. That's cool. I'll be interested to see those when those come out. What about for you, Alicia? Is there another book in you?
I know that there is, and I have so many ideas I play with, and I've actually talked to friends, and I want to co-author a book with someone.
Co-author a book.
And I know that process probably is going to be hard because you're trying to blend two minds of, but I've had an idea that I've been trying to get one of my friends who is a minister, a guy, because I want a guy, this one is a guy perspective and a woman's perspective, but I had an idea for a book called I shouldn't say it?
Oh, no, don't tell him. Keep him interested,
okay,
right?
Yeah, you know, but yeah. I do have an idea, you know, and this book is dealing with more of women parenting male children and how sometimes they clip their manhood in a lot of ways.
That's a big problem, I think, today.
Where they won't grow up. Right? That kind of thing, you know, that relationship.
Man-child? Are we talking about man-child?
Yes. So it's kind of still in that relationship kind of
series, I guess,
because I'm so much into, I guess, sociology, being a social worker, just kind of how people think. How do people arrive to be the people that they are? What happened? You know, what kind of cut them off from being able to grow and develop
society yes. is demanding certain things out of our people, and we're getting away from just good old-fashioned raising.
Yes, I agree totally, because my oldest is 20, and you know, tough love has been very, very, very important in his life to grow up, because you know, they so reliant, and it's such a different time. I was kind of, I guess, happy to be independent in a way. Went off to college and barely came home, you know.
Right. It was a different time. Yeah. We were empowered women.
Empowered, and now it's like, you know, they kind of expect, it's an entitled generation, I'll say. Yeah. Very entitled generation.
Exactly. Yeah. I think those are things that we all, that's really needed. Yeah. And, you know, there is a lot of, there's not enough conversation about, you know, men should be men, women should be women, whatever else is out there is okay. But, you know, we are talking about letting people grow up.
Yeah. They need to really grow up.
Grow up and be able to support themselves.
Please and thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That would be a good theme for one. Mm-hmm. And if you are out this weekend, please stop by and see Alicia. She's written Mastering a Manipulator. If it is not you, you may know somebody that it is.
Definitely.
What a great Christmas gift.
Definitely a great stocking stuffer. And I wrote the book very, very plain, because I wanted it to be as if someone is in prison, right, and they don't have a high school diploma, it's not a book that they feel like they need a dictionary to understand, you know.
That's great.
I want it to be very plainly written. I want it as early as maybe ninth graders, because I've seen situations where girls have been in domestic violence relationships, and sometimes parents didn't even know that they had a controlling boyfriend who told them what to wear and who they could hang with, and you know, how things escalated, and sometimes they hid that from their families, and just different things a lot of times as parents not aware of, as we're in the age of cell phones and all that as well, you know, a lot of things that's hidden. So I wanted, you know, that women can actually be able to give their daughters a book to say, hey, you know, this is how you handle a situation like this if you didn't want to come to me. Because sometimes kids don't want to come to their parents and say what's going on, but this is a way of kind of starting that conversation, right? I think it's a great conversation.
When I had my oldest son, I was a single parent. Mm-hmm. I moved into Section 8 apartment while completing my college education. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, human vultures seem to circle that complex day and night in their luxury cars. Mm-hmm. I briefly encountered one on my 22nd birthday. I was on my way to check my mail when he suddenly drove up to me in his shiny gray Mercedes. He seemed too good to be true. And he was. He complimented me, and I told him it was my birthday. Instantly, he handed me a $50 bill along with his business card. He told me to call him sometime, but said if his wife answered the phone to tell her I was calling for business purposes. Although I was a piece of work back then, I had a conscience. Therefore, I threw his number in the dumpster and enjoyed the extra cash. That's an excerpt from Alicia's book here.
Oh, I love it.
The Vulture, Chapter 4.
That's right.
There you go.
Yes.
And I can hear Jeff laughing in the background.
Yes.
Exactly.
And that is a true story of a single mother. I was in college, working on my bachelor's degree, had a baby, chose to raise him and, you know, do it. I made him, I had him. But there were people would come out there, and you would just be amazed, just trying to exploit a young woman. Absolutely. But I was so glad for the morals that I had that was instilled in me. I grew up in church, and I knew what was right from wrong, and I didn't want the karma, as they say, from doing something like that just because, you know, people try to explore a desperate moment in a person's life. I was not.
You're listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. You know, I can't believe I just opened up the book. I haven't had a chance to read it, and that's what I flipped to.
Wow.
That
was
amazing.
Good.
Powerful
good.
Again. Yeah. Very powerful. And yeah. so true for so many young women and probably young men too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, this doesn't actually have to be just women.
Yeah, that's true. Because,
I mean, you know, we always think about it because
yes.
we are women and because
exactly.
we know so many women.
Exactly. And because, you know, it, generally speaking, physically, we're sometimes the weaker ones and the easier to maybe manipulate in some certain ways far as our hearts and easily to fall in love and insecurities and all that stuff. But I've seen it happen to men as well. And some men are actually in domestic violence relationship with women who, you know, not all there.
Right.
So it happens on both sides. I see it more prevalent for women.
Sure.
But it's definitely a conversation for all people. And they can definitely flip it. In the book, it also talks about how with young men, how we kind of breed people to be these playboys. You know, sometimes they're the jocks.
What is the image?
You know,
what is the image? Yeah,
the
music
jocks
and
all
football,
that stuff. How we kind of create the monsters in some of these people as well. So it talks about that a little bit briefly too. So it's a quick read, but it's a great read. And definitely, you know, I would love the opportunity to sit down, like I said, have seminars and conversations with groups, and we can kind of explore these conversations even further. Yeah.
All right. So to call Alicia, if you'd like to see about having her come to your group or church group or get a copy of the book, how do you call you?
864-323-5332.
There you go. Give it a call. Write that down, 323-5332. And Karen Petit, if you're looking for great, great, great books for children, this is Lady Louise, Adventures at the North Pole, but there's several of them. How many books have you written?
There are three in the series, Lady Louise, The Adventure Begins, which talks about her life in the land of Poodaloo with beloved queen and her decision to travel and see the world and impart kindness and manners to children and adults.
You have to have a good imagination, Karen, to put all this together. Poodaloo!
I love it.
Yeah.
Yes, I have always had a vivid imagination.
Which is why her mystery books should be great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it'll be a surprise to people.
That you have this deep, dark side, Karen?
Yes, in addition to this side. As a child, I had an imaginary playmate.
Yes.
And my mother hauled me off to the pediatrician because she was concerned that...
Because you talked to it so much.
Right. But I was an only child at that point in my life.
Right.
And so my parents, my mother was teaching. She was gone during the day. My father was a student in dental school. And so I had a lot of time. I mean, I was in kindergarten, but I didn't have a sibling at home, so I had this imagination.
I understand this, Karen.
Yeah.
Yes, I was the oldest in my family for quite a while.
And so I had the imaginary playmate, and the pediatrician told my mother, who of course, you know, had not had children, that it was a sign of a child with great intelligence and imagination. So she left feeling very confident after that and not that, you know, perhaps I had some mental
and
issues.
She started to sit down with you and talk to your imaginary friend with you.
But she would always buy me books. And I can remember a situation we were at the grocery store, and I asked my mother if she would buy a book for my imaginary playmate, except his name was Mike. And so I asked her if she would buy a book for Mike, and she said yes. So she allowed me to have that. And then when we moved to Greenwood from North Carolina, somehow Mike just remained behind. He never moved.
He didn't come with
us.
Wow.
He's across the border.
Wow. Well, this has been a great conversation for a Friday morning, and we're going to wrap it up here now. I want to thank Alicia Coleman, for coming out with us here this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure meeting you. I hope that this relationship blossoms. I really, really appreciate it. It has been a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Yes.
And it's always good to see my good friend Karen Petit right here with children's books and upcoming mystery books. So make sure you find out how to get in touch with Karen. Karen, do you want to, how do people contact you?
They can contact me at scauthor@gmail.com. That's my email, and also my phone, 803-477-1971. I do live in Greenwood, but I have an 803 area code for my time in Columbia.
1971 significant, Karen?
No, not significant at all. It was a good year. It had to be a good year somewhere. And Ann, I just want to thank you for all that you do for our community, and congratulations on your recent award for
thank
the
you.
Work that you do with veterans. You're wow. a force in Greenwood, wow. and we appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much, Karen.
You're
thank
welcome.
Thank you so much. We're going to finish this up. Go make sure Sunday, the 24th, 2 to 5, go have some great conversations with these two authors right here, Alicia Coleman and Karen Petit, and check out what everybody else is there, because there's a lot of good conversations, a lot of good books, and you'll make friends forever. Thanks so much, everybody. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.